You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Joining us is Elder Ramodise. He is going to be assisting us in today's discussion. Elder, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope that you woke up well.
I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm thankful.
Amen. We praise God for that. So, again, we are on Lesson 12, Esther and Mordecai. The memory verse for this week's lesson is Isaiah 49, verse 6, which says, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So, Alda, this quarter we've been looking at different aspects of mission, different spaces where mission is expected of us, and different things we can do to break barriers, to break boundaries, to reach people that are unreachable. So, firstly, before we get anywhere, I'd like for you to introduce what aspect of mission is this week's lesson going to be focusing on.
Sure. This week's lesson entitled Esther and Mordecai speaks about an account of cross-cultural ministering across cultures, as it were. Sometimes even being found in an environment reluctantly, you know, through no choice of your own, but still being able to play a major part in witnessing for God and sharing the word of God with those around you.
Okay. An additional question I wanted to ask is, why is it important for us to go across those cultural lines? Are there no people who belong to these cultures who can speak to their own demographic of individuals? Because, you know, there's better relation if we are from the same culture, if we, you know, we understand each other because we are from the same race or we are from the same country or ethnic group or anything like that. So why is it important for us to cross those cultural lines to reach other people when we do this missionary work?
There are two ways I can answer that question. I think the first is that, I mean, if you've been around long enough, you know that it does not follow that simply because we belong to the same culture that we will be able to convince each other to follow a certain path. Mm. That is not necessarily a given. But the second one, which I think is more important, is that the Great Commission actually enjoins us to break away from mindset that we are only we can only be effective amongst those who are like us, who think like us, who talk like us. Mm. In fact, we are called upon to preach to those around us, but we are also called upon to break through cultural barriers. You know, when Christ, and this is precisely what Christ meant when he said that we need to preach the gospel first in Judea, in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. Samaria, and to the outer parts of the world. That was a clear indication that our calling is not limited to our people.
I hear you. All right, let's now get into the lesson. Can you please break down our Sunday section, Captive in a Foreign Culture? What exactly is the author telling us in this portion?
Yeah, I think it is important to relate this to Esther and Mordecai. Mm-hmm. And maybe by way of background, Mordecai, it's quite possible, and the scripture does not tell us this, but it is quite possible that Mordecai was born in captivity, because it was his great grandfather who was captured by King Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
So it's quite possible that both Mordecai and Esther were born in captivity, and when Esther's parents died, Mordecai kind of adopted her. She was his cousin, but obviously, you know, probably younger, given the authority that he had mm-hmm. over her, mm-hmm. and so he adopted her. But what I find fascinating is that he made sure that she never forgets who she is, that she never forgets that she is a Jew. We are told in the Bible that he made clear to her that she was never to tell people about the background. So this is the situation that Mordecai and Esther find themselves, expatriated to a foreign culture. It's a culture that they were probably born in, but it is not their culture. It is a Persian culture, and it is hostile by all accounts. It is hostile to what the Jews hold dear, and it is not unlike the culture that we have to speak the gospel into today. It is, because it is it might not necessarily be a foreign culture, but it has commonalities with foreign culture in that it is hostile to the message that we are called upon to bring to it. You know, our culture is very secular. It does not think highly of the things of God. In fact, all research indicates, particularly in the Western world, that the question of God is receding from the consciousness of people.
Right.
Such that even the Western world, which brought us the gospel, is becoming more and more a mission field, an unreached area, because it is a culture that has separated itself from God. So we need to, that's why we are called upon to go into it and to influence it. The laws of the lands where we live are not necessarily in harmony with the laws of God. The principles of our faith are not enshrined in the laws of the lands where we live, and this is the environment that we are called in. So we are also, in a sense, captive in a foreign culture.
I wanted to actually also lead you to that. Earlier you said that Mordecai made sure that he instilled the principles of their faith to Esther, regardless of them being in captivity in a foreign land with foreign beliefs and all of that. Why is that important? Because as much as like we are living now wherever everyone who's listening is, for example, I'm in South Africa, and South Africa doesn't necessarily have a law that makes it difficult for me to practice my religion or my faith. But there are things that have become normalized in the society of this country that makes it difficult for me to maintain those principles, because now the influence of the world and how life has diluted the value of our faith and our religion. How does instilling these principles in the home, always reminding each other of where we come from and who we are and where we are going, why is that an important aspect of mission work within our nuclear families or our small spaces before we get out into the big world?
Yeah, I think that's such a crucial question to address, because we have no knowledge of the environment that we are ultimately going to find ourselves in. So if we are not somehow grounded in something, we will fall for anything, and we will not be of any use to the kingdom. You know, history shows us that irrespective of what the laws of a land happen to be, even if they are favorable to our faith, such as we have in South Africa as well, if faithfulness does not stem from the heart, from within, we are still going to fall into sin and into apostasy, and always that is followed by ruin. In contrast, if we have these principles instilled in us, and we are determined to remain faithful, we will be able to stand even in the most unfavorable environments. We will be able to remain obedient, because this thing is is instilled deep in us. And we see this in the story of the three Hebrew boys and Daniel as well, where they were thrown into an environment that was hostile to their faith,
right.
But that did not draw them away from the principles that had been instilled in them, and they were still able to stand, even if standing up for those principles meant almost certain death.
Mm. That is powerful indeed. All right, I want us to move on to Monday before we lose ourselves in just one day. So Monday is looking at in a foreign court, and I think this is where it now focuses on the beginning of Esther's story. Now she is being thrust into a world where she does not know, and you know it's unfamiliar, and it must have been scary. So can you tell us more about what it means? What exactly does it mean being in a foreign court, as according to Esther's story?
Yeah. In this story, Esther is thrust into a situation not of her own choosing,
right?
Where the Queen Vashti, mm-hmm. Falls out of favor with the king, because if you read the spirit of prophecy, it tells you that this was an alcohol fueled feast that Vashti was called into to come and perform, mm-hmm. and because it was fueled by alcohol, she refused to do that,
mm-hmm.
And this is what the spirit of prophecy tells us, that she refused because this thing was fueled by wine, and from that she fell out of favor with the king, and mm-hmm. what that then does is that it kicks in the story of Esther and Mordecai, because now the advisors of the king are saying he must find himself a new queen, and they set out this this mechanism that they propose, where beautiful girls from across the land, mm-hmm. are going to be brought in and given beauty treatments and all those things, to be made ready for the king to choose one that appealed to him the most. Mm-hmm. And so we're not quite sure if Esther was picked up without Mordecai's permission, or if Mordecai encouraged her to do it. But mm-hmm. what we do know is that Mordecai gave her guidance as to how to behave in a foreign court, where she was going to go, and because of her, not only her beauty but also her conduct, she found favor in a foreign court. And I think there's a lesson in there for us, that our conduct, our godly conduct, will shine such that it will open doors for us. It will enable us to be presented with opportunities that we otherwise would not be presented with had we not stuck to a godly conduct. And we know this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know, we've seen it in our own lives, where because of how we conduct ourselves, how we behave, we are there's favor that is bestowed upon us. And that favor, we ought to be careful not to waste, because that favor is a God-given favor that gives us an opportunity to then witness the truth of God to those to whom we have been given access because of our godly conduct, even if we are in a foreign court. So that is one aspect of being in a foreign court. But the other element, I think, of being in a foreign court is that we are called upon to exercise wisdom when we get to places like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Mordecai told Esther is not to disclose that she is a Jew. It's hard to guess what the reason is precisely, but we know that they were in a foreign culture and surrounded by foreign religions, which could be hostile to them. And so to keep quiet was wise. Now, one could say, does this mean that we ought not to be bold about the message of Christ in hostile environments? I don't think that that's what it means.
Right.
I think that it means that we need to exercise wisdom about when to speak and when to be silent. I mean, we see this even in the case of our Lord Jesus when he was brought before Caiaphas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until that time, he had not said a word about mm-hmm. About who he was. But it gets to a point where Caiaphas says to him, I implore you in the name of God to tell me whether you are the Son of God.
Mm.
And at that point, it's almost as if Jesus has no choice because his faith is being brought to, put to the challenge,
right.
And he must speak up for what he believes in. So we need to exercise wisdom when we are in places where we are in a little spot of bother for this or another reason, mm-hmm. to know when to speak and when to hold our tongue.
Okay, I want to go back to what you said earlier, in terms of Esther now being part of the women who were brought before the king to be chosen to be the next queen, right? As a woman myself, I can't even imagine the discomfort to be paraded in such a situation. I'm sure maybe there were some women who were excited at the thought of being chosen, but knowing then as Christians what we believe in and all of that, and what Esther, you know, was probably taught prior to that experience, the discomfort of being in such a situation. Does that mean we should be expectant to be in uncomfortable situations when it comes to mission work? Is it something that we should allow ourselves to be in, or should we avoid such situations? Because I mean, of course, we're not going to be in a parade where a king is going to choose whoever he wants. But when it comes to mission work, as we've been looking at throughout this quarter, should we avoid certain things that make us uncomfortable, or should we also be working to get to those uncomfortable spaces because it is our duty to? I just want to establish whether it is an expectation, a requirement, or if it's something that we can decide that, you know what, this is not something I'm comfortable doing, so I'll step back.
Yeah, I think it is important to consider what informs the discomfort.
Mm.
Is it principle? Is it preference? We are called upon to stand on principle.
Mm-hmm.
And never to violate that. But there is nothing in the scriptures that gives me an indication that we were ever promised comfort in our effort to spread the gospel. Sometimes we are going to be in uncomfortable situations. Sometimes we are going to have to allow ourselves to get into uncomfortable situations.
Right.
But we need to be, once again, we need to be tuned in to the guidance of the Holy Spirit to know when we can go ahead and allow ourselves to be exposed to those uncomfortable situations, and when those uncomfortable situations themselves become an opportunity to stand against something that violates our conscience and that is not pleasing to God. So I think the answer to that is that sure, we are going to be faced with uncomfortable situations. We need to be very discerning about what informs the discomfort and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in terms of what to do about the discomfort.
Thank you so much. I think it even the lesson has just been connected, because everything you're saying now is reminding me of, I don't know if it was last week's lesson or the week before that, where it was looking at Paul and the work that he did, Mission to the Unreached, and his approach in ministering to the people of Athens, and how he didn't just come and say, I have the word, you are wrong, this is what you must do. He knew how to approach it. He knew when to say certain things and when not to say certain things, what topics to broach and which ones to avoid. And I think it is very important to also ask that, as much as we have been given this commission, this call to reach people, we should not be impulsive and, you know, thoughtless and careless about how we do it. But there needs to be care behind it. There needs to be thought. And like you said, there needs to be wisdom. And we can only gain that from the Spirit of God. Thank you so much, Alder, for that enlightenment today. I am looking forward to the continued breakdown of this lesson on Wednesday. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you too. That was Pastor Ramodise, and he has helped us understand better what it means to be called to mission when it comes to crossing cultural lines, cultural barriers. So we are not limited. Everyone needs to receive the gospel.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.